Good morning and a very warm welcome to Romford Baptist Church morning service. We're coming to you from the church building, but the church is in lounges, dining rooms, probably even bedrooms around the area. You are welcome. My name is Ian. I'm one of the ministers and I'm leading this service with Vicky, another of the ministers, and the preacher this morning is Stephen Henwood, and we look forward to hearing what God is going to say. This is Ascension Sunday. Thursday was Ascension Day in many countries. It was a bank holiday. For us, it wasn't. But we come to remember that time when Jesus was taken up to heaven on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to hear the readings. But firstly, I want to just tell you about something I read this week. And it's a paraphrase of Job chapter 1, and I found this helpful. There was a day that Satan came before the Lord, and the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered to the Lord and said, "I'm going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my church? How they gather every Sunday and praise and worship my holy name. They do this year in, year out, every Sunday morning, all over the world. And from the time the sun rises in the east to the sun setting in the west, my name gets glorified like a wave washing over all the earth." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Have you not blessed them with health, wealth, and prosperity, with which they have built beautiful church buildings and filled it with amazing technology? Have you not blessed them with all manners of talents that they bring together in these beautiful churches? They build and worship you with beautiful music that appeals to their senses. But if you stretch out your hand and take all that from them, strike down with a plague or even just a fear of plague, they will go quiet and worship you no more. This wave of worship running from east of the earth to the west every Sunday morning and evening will stop, and all will go quiet. Who will worship you then? Who will still make your name great?" And the Lord said to Satan, "They are in your hand." So Satan unleashed a deadly virus on the earth, and soon churches closed all over the world. Everyone, Christians and Gentiles, hunkered down in their homes, and everything went quiet, and Satan was standing there watching and waiting. All the angels were standing in heaven watching and waiting. God was standing there watching and waiting as a great silence fell over all the heavens and the earth. Suddenly one angel called out, "Listen, another, I hear it too, it's coming from the east, in a small living room, in a locked up house," came the sound of a piano being played and voices singing, "Holy, holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity." Another angel called out, "Listen, over there in the west, there's a sound of a guitar coming from bedroom and could be heard with a voice singing, all hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star." Slowly from all directions, the sounds of instruments and voices could be heard louder and louder until it became a symphony of worship rising up to heaven, a cacophony of song, praising God, declaring his greatness and thanking him for his grace and mercy, his forgiveness, songs of dedication and declaration, songs of encouragement, songs filled with the joy and peace that can only come from God, sung by thousands of men and women, young and old, wherever they were, accomplished by whatever means they had. And God turned to Satan and said, "Did you notice? Today is Friday, but my people, having been freed from the busyness that fills their life, worship me every day of the week, for they still know I am. The wave of worship that runs from the sunrise in the east to the sunset in the west now circles the earth every day, as the earth circles the sun." And all of heaven fell down on their face and worshipped God, calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And Satan, turned and walked away, defeated as he has been since the day of Calvary. This day, we are going to join with those voices all over the world and proclaiming Jesus as King, as Lord of all. As he has ascended into heaven, he is at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to start by crowning him with many crowns. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, our precious, almighty God, the God to whom our worship and our praises are sent. Lord, we want to again this day declare you as King and Lord of this earth. We declare, Lord, that you are the sovereign, the great I am. You are the Lord, our Redeemer, our Saviour, our King. And Lord, this day, as we come to bring you our worship and our praise, we want to just come in joy. Lord, maybe we're not where we would like to be this morning, but we come in joy because you are with us. You are as with us in our homes as you would be in the church building. You are with us as much where we are as you would be anywhere else. We thank you, Lord, that our homes have become holy space, sacred ground. And you are with us there. And Lord, this day, this Ascension Sunday, as we remember Christ ascending into the heavens, we thank you, Lord, that you raised Jesus from the dead. You defeated death. You defeated fear. And Lord, in you we can trust. And Lord, in you we can put our hope. And so, Lord, we come as people who are joyful in our worship to you. We come as people who want to praise and adore you. We want to get emotionally involved in what we want to say to you because, Lord, you are alive and you are with us. And, Lord, you are going to be with us. And, Lord, we can trust in you. Come, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And we bring these prayers in the name of our Lord and Saviour who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our first reading continues that theme of Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Yutindi is going to read it for us.
Our Bible reading for today is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy words. Amen.
And so we come to bow our knees and to worship God. And we're going to do that singing two songs back to back. Firstly, Light of the World, Here I Am to Worship, Here I Am to Bow Down, followed by Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Lord, we lift your name on high. Thank you so much to all who entered this week's challenge, and it was around books this week. And I've never ceased to be surprised these days at what comes in. And please do enjoy this compilation of your contributions to this week's challenge about books. Thank you again to all who contributed to that storyline of books that you have recommended and enjoyed. This week's challenge, different again. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, a day of colour, of drama, of excitement. And so we would like you to, in your challenges this week, send in, well, it could be anything. And on the wall now you can see a painting that you will be familiar with in the church of the wind and the fire, and that very much is sort of showing Pentecost is in picture form. What way would you be demonstrating Pentecost? It could be as simple as saying on a video, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in your own language. If you could tell us what language that is as well, that would help us. But that might be one way. It might be through art or through a garden scene that you are going to show the Holy Spirit and symbolize it. We want this week for your creative inside to come out and for you to be able to demonstrate Pentecost in any way you like. If I could just give a little tip here. If you are taking photos or videos on your phone, if you can do it in the landscape format, it comes out better on the video. You get the whole screen as opposed to just the small center part. It doesn't matter if you can't do that, but that just gives us a better way of being able to show it to everyone next Sunday. Well, Rodney's got the first submission in already. Let's see how many more we can get around the theme of Pentecost. Your creative license is unlocked to see what we get this week. We're going to hear God's word read, and Margot's going to read from Acts chapter 1.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back by the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Before Stephen comes and preaches on that text, we're going to sing again, "Before the Throne of God Above."
Good morning. Well, I'm here standing in front of a full church of empty seats. Quite strange, really. And I think I need to try and keep in my mind that there are people sitting there. And because we always sit in the same places, I can picture people around the church this morning. And maybe when all this is over and we have a new norm, we come into church that first Sunday pretending it's a church we haven't been into, and we go and sit somewhere new and see different people. Today is Ascension Sunday. A couple of days ago on Thursday was Ascension Day. I can remember my parents telling me that when they were at school, Ascension Day was a day off, and they would all go to church on Ascension Day. Things have changed a lot, and even in Christian circles, I think that that Ascension has become the forgotten season. Christmas, well, we know all about that, and just for your information, it's 30 weeks away. We do well for Easter and for Pentecost, but Ascension, we tend to forget about it. Now, we had our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, written by Dr. Luke, the most prolific writer of New Testament scripture. And the ascension of Jesus is the link between his gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. It brings them together. In the gospel, you have the life and the ministry of Jesus, right up to the point of when he is taken up into heaven. And the Acts of the Apostles opens up with the ascension and the ministry of the early church, the new Christians. In Luke 24, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And Luke, as in Acts, says he was taken up before their very eyes with a cloud right from their sight. When Jesus was ascended, he gave the disciples a command to stay where you are in Jerusalem. You've got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, to be baptized in the Spirit of God, so that you can live the Christian life and be disciples and missionaries. But that's for next week. It must have been a very strange thing to watch Jesus being taken up into the clouds. Perhaps Old Testament parallels come to your mind of Enoch and Elijah. Difficult to picture. There are plenty of paintings in the National Gallery and other places of Jesus sitting on a cloud with blue sky, and it doesn't do anything for me. I can't really see that is where Jesus is today. But it's a crucial event, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the ascension so important, so vital for us? Well, there's a number of reasons that I'm going to talk about over the next few moments. And I think it's vitally important for us today as we're living through what we are often told are unprecedented times. People are worried. People are concerned. What is happening? When is it going to end? What will the future be like? When can I see my family again? When can I go on holiday? Will I ever be able to go abroad on an aeroplane again? So many questions, so many people worrying, so many concerns. What does the ascension of Jesus have to say to us this morning? Well, I think first of all, it brings security in what is a very insecure world. It was in Matthew's gospel that Jesus said to his people, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Our God is in control, not just in this world, but in the heavens. There is nothing that surprises our God. There is nothing that takes him by surprise. There is nothing going to worry him. He is in control. We may have plenty of questions. We may have many of worries. But we've got to learn to turn to God. We've got to learn to trust in him. And to keep trusting in him. And not lose faith. Our confidence is in the God of heaven and earth. Our maker and our redeemer. He is the one that we trust and put our hope in. In this world where people are concerned, when we're uncertain about the future, let's afresh put our faith and our confidence in our God. Our God is in control. And secondly, he's able to bring comfort to us at times of suffering. If you want to read a book in the Bible that focuses very much on the ministry of Jesus post-ascension, then you've got to sit down and spend some time with the book of Hebrews. And I know some people find it a hard book to get into and to comprehend, but if you read it slowly, a few verses at a time, a paragraph every now and again, it starts to come together of what Jesus is doing now. In Hebrews 4 we read, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven," that's where Jesus is, "let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus is in heaven, not doing nothing, but our high priest, the one who is representing us before his Father. The one who knows what it is like to go through all the temptations that we face. The one who has experienced suffering in the way that we have been suffered. He has gone through being deserted by his friends, being alone, being vulnerable. And we have Jesus in heaven who is praying for us today. When we turn to prayer, sometimes I think that we often think it's a bit like coming to the headmaster, expecting to be told off for something, for not getting it right, for making mistakes. But really, when we turn to prayer, when we speak to Jesus, when we spend time alone with him, he is the one who's able to sympathize. The one who says, "I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know what pain is like. I've experienced it myself." And so we have a God in heaven who is aware of our weaknesses, and a God who sympathizes with us in our sufferings and in our trials, and the one who is on our side all the time. So ascension helps us to realize that we have a God who brings security to us in an insecure world, because it's God's world, it's God's heaven, it's God's earth. He is in control. He brings comfort to us whilst we're in our pain and in our suffering. But the ascension of Jesus also reminds us that we have a task to complete. It's often said that the final words of somebody are very important. People remember the final words of a relative who has died, and they treasure those words. That was the last thing that they said to me. Well, the last words of Jesus to his disciples: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the task of making Jesus known in the world, of telling other people about his love and about his concern for people. The churches have been closed down. They're not open on Sundays. Churches have had to find different ways to communicate the gospel. Not in a building, but online. And we are told that many people who don't normally come to church have found their way into following and watching a service from a church in the United Kingdom. The message has got out. In 1948, when missionaries were ejected from China, it was thought that the Church of Jesus would die. And then when Christians were allowed back into China, they discovered something remarkable. The church had grown. Disciples had been made. The message had been taken to different parts of the country. We've got a task to tell people about Jesus. And perhaps now, for the first time in many years, there are people who are showing some signs of spiritual awakening. Some sign, some desire to make sense of what is going on in their lives and in the world. We've been given that task to tell people about the Lord Jesus and make his gospel known to other people. And are people interested? Well, some won't be. But then there'll be some people this morning watching this who at one stage would have said that they had no desire to go into a Christian church, no desire to be part of a Christian family. But someone at some time told them about Jesus. Maybe instantly, maybe over a period of time, they changed their minds and came to know Jesus as their Savior and wouldn't go back. And if Jesus can do it for you, he can do it for other people. People just need to know. And we've been given that task of going out with the gospel. Luke writes about Jesus' life and ministry. In the Acts of the Apostles, he writes about what the Christians did, about the apostles spreading the word fearlessly, confidently, able to do it because Jesus had changed their lives. But you know, they couldn't go out and do it there and then. They had to wait. They had to wait for Pentecost. They had to wait for the Spirit of God to be poured out into their lives. They had to wait for that life-changing experience. The power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Holy Spirit living in us. And Jesus equipped his church to spread the good news. Judea, Jerusalem, and right across the globe. But Pentecost is next week. And maybe in the few days between now and Pentecost, it's time for us just to think and to meditate and to think how much more power of the Holy Spirit do we need in our lives. Do I need to open my life afresh to God coming in, to taking over those parts of my life that I refuse to give to him, for the Spirit to come in and deal with our apathy, to deal with whatever is stopping us going out and being a witness to Jesus in the world? As Jesus went up into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit down into the lives of people. But there's one final thing Ascension says to us. It reminds us that there is an event to anticipate. When all of the enemies of God have been subdued, the Bible tells us Jesus is coming back. And he's going to come back in the same way that he was being taken. He's going to come back, and there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth. It's foolish to speculate when that is going to be, and people have tried to do that all the years, and so far they have been hopelessly wrong. But the scriptures tells us Jesus is going to return, and things will be changed instantly. Sickness, sorrow will disappear. A new kingdom will be established. And we're waiting for it. And Jesus will come back as judge of all peoples. And a new kingdom will be ushered in. And if Jesus hadn't gone back into heaven, he would never be able to come back. There would not be the recreating the new heaven and the new earth. So ascension makes us look back to the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes us think about the power that came on the disciples in the early church. It makes us realize the responsibilities that we have to take the message of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, into the world. But we're doing that, expecting that one day Jesus will come back. I remember when I was a youngster, there was a song that was sung by Andre Crouch and his disciples. Some people remember that black gospel singer. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. The King will come from heaven. Let's busy ourselves in kingdom work, enjoying life as a Christian, being thrilled to be part of a Christian church, being busy until that day when Jesus calls or when Jesus comes again in the flesh. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for ascension. We thank you for its truth, that our Lord Jesus, who came from heaven to earth, ascended back into your presence. And Lord, we long for that day when he will return. And a new heaven and a new earth will be created. Help us, Lord, to live as people who are expecting his return. Help us to live with enthusiasm, to share the gospel in all sorts of different ways and by all means. Lord God, hear our prayer and be with us. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoy Ascension Day, and it'll be lovely when we're all able to come back into church, because it's quite strange preaching to an empty church. But at least nobody fell asleep this morning. We're going to sing finally that wonderful hymn, Keith Green song, "There Is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's Own Son."
Good morning, everyone, and it's great to be reminded of the words that we read in 2 Corinthians that link in so well to what Stephen has been sharing with us. It says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And as we come to prayer now, it is with that reminder that God, through Jesus, brings us the promise of security, that reminder that God is in control, and he brings us comfort through all that God and his Son has done. Let us pray. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come before you confident that you are with us and confident too that you are going to return again, and that what we are suffering and experiencing now will come to an end as your Son returns once again. Lord, we come and acknowledge that in the midst of all that we are facing, we acknowledge you are indeed in control. We thank you for the message that we have received this week from Louise and Peter in Bangladesh following the cyclone. We thank you that you kept them safe, that the stories from the churches is one of thanksgiving for the safety during the night. But we recognize that they are coming to terms with the damage to homes, the loss of livelihoods, the means to fish. And so we bring them before you, recognizing that so many have lost their homes in entirety or their homes partially, that they won't be able to get an income because of the loss in the fishery sector and because of the damage to the crops. We recognize that emergency efforts will be hampered because of the damage done to bridges, embankments, and culverts. But Lord, you are in control. That your Son is there representing and mediating for us in heaven, and so you do indeed bring us comfort, as we have been reminded. And so, Lord, we pray for those who need your comfort this day, who need to know that your Son is there interceding and mediating for us. We pray especially, Lord, for those who we know on our own hearts and for those that we can see in our notice sheet. We especially pray for those who are facing are recovering from operations and surgery. Lord, continue to be with Anne and Keith Carter, with Amy, Chris, and baby Theo. We thank you that the surgical procedure for Ruth, Anthea McCulloch's mum, took place on Friday. But Lord, we pray that you'll be with that whole family too. We pray too for those who are just struggling and suffering at this time. And Lord, be with Barbara as she has further surgery on her left cheek this coming Friday. May she know you holding them close, as you have held all those who have been in hospital in recent times or who are waiting for further treatment too. And Lord, we thank you that you continue to be with all those who are struggling physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Lord, this is a difficult time. But Lord, we thank you that because you ascended back to heaven, we thank you that you are there mediating and representing us to your Father. But Lord, we do have a task to complete. We thank you that you have equipped us, and we pray that, Lord, in all that we do, we will seek to be your representative in all our daily settings, whether that is at home and meetings on Zoom or other internet meeting forums, wherever we are, whether that's in the shops or maybe as we thank the people who drop off our food to us day by day. Lord, in our conversations, in our prayer times, Lord, may we remember that we have been equipped to share that good news with those that we meet. We pray particularly for Winter Gardens, for Teddy and Diddy and the work they are doing there in Sofia, for Church 123, for Andy and Rihanna in Moldova, for our friends and our family up at Parkside, and all those who are seeking to support each of those residents there day by day. Lord God, we thank you that in all that we do, you equip us and you help us. But most of all, on this day, we thank you that we not only have the reminder that you ascended to heaven, but the promise and the hope that you will return. And that, Lord, in all that we do until that time, you are with us day by day. Amen. our notice sheet this week. You hopefully will have received. If you don't receive it and you'd like to, please do contact the office and they will, Ruth will add you onto the email list that comes out. Particular things to notice this week: there is no Wednesday at RBC. The prayer course is not running this week. It will resume next Wednesday evening, but the 3rd of June. The lockdown edition of Grapevine is now available to be downloaded from the website. So have fun as you work your way through Grapevine. And we thank you, particularly for all those who've contributed, and to Cheryl and Bert for putting that edition together for us. We are continuing as we meet and gather for prayer on Tuesday evening. And Journey is also continuing at 8:15 on Tuesday evening. And if you've not yet joined us on the virtual meeting place on a Wednesday morning just for some chatter and to just catch up with one another, see one another's faces, it's a great opportunity to do that, and the details are in the notice sheet. We are looking to produce a new directory in some time to come, but we just want to check that all the details are correct. Now, I know that some of you have moved house. I discovered that when I was trying to deliver something just recently. So if you've moved house in the last couple of years, change your email address. I know some of you have done that. Change your phone number. I know some of you have done that because I couldn't get you on the number that we had. Please do email into Ruth and let her know so that we can, when we produce the directory, it will be as accurate as is possible. The youth events and the children's activities are all available. All the details are on the notice sheet. Please do remember to access them. Ruth, Hannah and the team are doing a phenomenal job. And I know that the youth quiz night on Wednesday evenings has been enjoyed by those who are attending. And I encourage you, if you've not yet reminded your youngsters in your home that is happening, I understand it's a great evening. So 6 o'clock Wednesday evening. Do hopefully you can enjoy what is going on. The helpline continues to run 9:30 till 1, and the RBC helpline 2 on the website is also available. Do keep receiving, looking at your notice sheet and keeping in touch. Even though we're not meeting, there are things still going on. And we thank you for those of you who are continuing to give week by week, that is enabling the work of God to continue, not just here, but further afield with those mission partners that we have, and as we support the work of BMS and BU. And we thank you for that. We thank you for those of you who are holding on to your gifts, who will bring them when we return. For those of you who are sending checks or paying money straight into the bank, it is appreciated. And we are going to just pause now and give thanks for all of those gifts. Let us pray. And so, Father God, we thank you that at this time when many of us are just facing different circumstances, we are still being faithful to you and faithful to enabling the work that you wish to do both here and further afield and in the way that is being done online and remotely. Father God, we can continue to give because, Lord, you bless us so much. It's our opportunity to give so that you can use that money to share and to use in the places and in the tasks that you wish us to undertake. And so we thank you. Amen. I've apparently the message has come in to say, when was I going to turn up, and to see if anybody was going to wave. So here's my wave this morning. Thank you for those of you who do tell me that you wave. I will look forward to that moment when we can be back in the building and we can see one another waving. But until then, it is good to know that you are out there and engaging in this way. I understand because I'd left it so long last week, people began to wonder if I was actually going to do it. But we're going to end our time together as we sing the wonderful old hymn, At the Name of Jesus. And indeed, he shall return again, as we've just been reminded in the words of that song. One of the things that I have been really struck by over the last number of weeks is the diversity of different ways that churches have been broadcasting their services. And actually this morning as I stand here before you, I'm actually also preaching at Upminster Baptist Church through the wonders of technology. But to me, one of the things that is so special about our gathering live on a Sunday morning is the fact that we are gathering together at the same time. And we have the opportunity to do that again at 6 o'clock this evening. But as I now share the words of the grace with you, it is great to know that wherever you are, we are sharing those words together. And so we pray, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning.